A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you unsuccessful and with few friends? Impress passers-by with the all-new Guitar Nerds t-shirt. Head over to guitarnerds.net/shop and buy yourself one of the all-new official Guitar Nerds t-shirt. Nerds!
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening via the internet, we have Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Bonjour.
Jay, you're a bit ill this evening.
I don't feel very well.
Wait, you're also really quiet.
Jay, don't get ill.
I know.
I thought you don't get ill. I thought that was your big thing.
I know, it is. And I feel... I feel terrible.
It's the first time I've ever seen you actually struggling with... feeling bad and not emotional or hangover.
No, I feel really, really under the weather. So I am drinking a concoction of lemon, ginger, and cayenne pepper.
How come I have ended up sitting next to you when you're really ill?
Well, I mean, there's only three of us. Do you want me to sit in the middle? Would that be fairer?
This is where we always sit. We always sit like this.
Yeah, that's true.
So how's everyone doing? Matt and I, all good?
Yeah, very well, thank you. I'm excited because I'm seeing David Gilmour twice this week.
What?
I'm going on Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah.
Why?
I managed to get a free ticket through work for Thursday, and I was already going with some people on Wednesday. So, yeah, for the second time, it's in a private box, so I get to enjoy it from far away and then slightly closer up.
Wow.
I was going to say, did you not decide to, like, maybe offer it to someone else who you work with, seeing as you were already going?
No one else wanted to go.
What sort of a weird shop has people who don't want to go and see Dave Gilmour?
I think it's more the fact that you've got to make your way all the way to the Albert Hall from Surrey and then back again.
It's probably people that have heard the new album, I'd imagine.
That's dangerous talk.
Oh, really?
I don't know anything about it.
It's I listened to it the other day. How's your week been, Matt?
Yeah, very good. I've managed to do a lot of guitar playing today, so I had the day off and it's been raining. And I've been spending a lot of time with Gibson guitars and listing some of the stuff for the shop that I work at. With all the guitars that I picked when I went to Nashville a few weeks ago.
They're not here already, surely?
No. They're just getting the listings ready to go online and kind of finalising all the collects, which is quite good. And just really, I've really realised that I need a Les Paul, or maybe I've always been destined to play a Les Paul, but I've been playing Fenders instead by mistake.
You've had... juniors and stuff in the past, haven't you? Have you just not had like a standard?
Yeah, but I've just never had like a Les Paul, and I kind of really want one.
Okay.
Like, I really want a 58 Les Paul, and I think that is my ultimate dream in life now. Screw the Fender, I just want a Gibson.
Really? It's a bit of a... quite a swing for you.
Yeah, I just... I don't know what it is. I kind of really fancy something with two humbuckers, and I don't really have that, so...
get yourself a FMT Deluxe Telecaster HH.
They're great guitars. They are great guitars.
Not quite a Les Paul.
Through neck.
Yeah.
They're very cool.
Good pickups in them, though, and coil tapped.
Yeah. Jay, you're making noise.
Sorry, I thought it was muted.
How's everyone else been? Jay, what have you been up to this week?
I had a really cool guitar thing to talk about.
Okay.
Probably the biggest...
Wait, I think I know what this is now. I've just caught a flash of what you've been looking at on your iPad.
Did anybody else see the first episode of the new season of Doctor Who?
No.
This weekend?
Anyone did, apparently.
Well, you're all idiots because it was wicked. And it started with Peter Capaldi coming out on a tank in like 1300 playing a guitar really loudly.
Okay.
It was something really interesting, something I'd not really looked at for a while. It was a Yamaha.
Oh, yes.
The Yamaha SGV 700.
So good.
Great guitar. They did a bass version of
that.
They did,
the SBV. And in fact, the SBV, I did a bit of digging on it because I sort of didn't really know a huge amount about the range. And I found this really cool spreadsheet, which is, you know, really terrible for anybody except for Joe, who's right next to me.
But it
shows you like the evolution. Maybe I'll put it up on the group. It shows the evolution of like where that shape sort of came from. And it's really cool. It's kind of like halfway between, almost like an SG kind of, and like a Jazzmaster. But yeah, it was really cool. I did a little bit of looking into them, and I really want a SGV 500 now because they are like the same shape. So the 700, there was like three main models. The 300, had like a really weird. I think it was the 300 that had a really weird pickup configuration.
Yeah.
So you've got two single coils that are right next to each other, and you can blend in between them. So you can have just one of them, then, or just the other, or both together, and then also the neck pickup, and then you can five-way switch between them as well.
Okay.
So really, really cool when there's a tremolo and stuff. And then they did the 700, which was single coils. And they also did a 500, which was hardtail and P90s. And it looks absolutely don.
Okay.
It looks really, really cool. And it sounded amazing. I don't know what it was that he was using. It looked like he was using some sort of amp with like a little, like a power brake on it.
Surely it wasn't recorded live.
It looked like it.
What?
I mean, maybe not, but it...
Can he play guitar then?
I think so. Yeah, I think he can.
Okay.
But yeah, it was really cool. It was very, very cool.
What was the significance of him coming out in a tank playing guitar to Doctor Who?
It was just his, like... He said he was having a party or something.
I don't know.
He was fighting people in some sort of medieval times. I don't know, I was half making dinner, I'll be honest.
I don't know that much about it, but I read a story this week saying like half the people who watched last season watched this first one.
I don't think it's been as well publicised.
No, I didn't realise it was starting again.
Yeah, yeah, I just happened to... I'm quite a big Doctor Who fan, I'm quite a big sort of... I know you'll sort of scoff at me using the word sci-fi whilst describing Doctor Who, but I'm quite a big sci-fi fan and I really like Doctor Who, and I didn't know a huge amount, but I didn't realise it was coming up again until I just happened to catch a glimpse of it. But yeah, I thought it was wicked. I thought it was really cool. And it's cool to sort of, I guess it kind of fit that, I thought that guitar was quite a good metaphor for that programme because it's like a bit of a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Although it looked a bit quirky.
They did one quite recently. It was probably reissued around the same time as Doctor Who.
Yeah, I think those models, the SGV 700s, are like, I think they were 2002 or something
that.
But yeah, they looked really, really cool, but I could find very, very little information. The thing that I did like about it is that there was a signature model for a band called, what were they called? I think they were called Blue Jeans. This band from Japan, and the signature model was the Yamaha BJ Pro.
Very good. Very, very good.
I'll leave that one to you.
Indeed. Joe Branham, what have you been up to this week?
This week I expanded my pedal board.
Okay.
So
haven't you just shrunk it down?
No. I shrunk my guitarist down. Mine is...
You shrunk your guitarist down?
Yes, I did.
Tiny little fella.
Rick Morales.
It's just far away.
Rick Morales?
Yeah, that one.
Morales?
Is that the Mexican Rick Morales?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a Pedal Train Junior, and I've upsized to a PT1, which actually I always had, but I'm going to start using it now. So I'm just adding two more pedals, because that's about the extra size you get between a PT1 and a Junior, and I am adding a DoD meat box.
Okay. Oh, I see where this is going.
No, come on. No, it's an essential thing.
And a rainbow machine.
No, not a rainbow machine, but the other one is an earthquake. No, it's the Grand Orbiter.
Okay.
Yeah, I listened to the love-in that was the old podcast in the last couple of weeks. And
I was very nervous at the start there, wasn't I?
You were, yeah.
Oh, well. We're going to speak to him soon.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah, I'd like to get him on here. That'd be cool.
Yeah. But yes, I got the DoD meat box because it's important for all those subs. Because I've got like an OC2 on there and then two stages of drive. But I wanted something super subby that I can turn on when I'm in the biggest bits. So obviously the DoD meat box to give it that chest thumping sub. And yeah, I just wanted a phaser. I'm doing a lot of bits where there's like held notes while the guitar's being busy and I'm just... bored of it just being like, you know, a held note. I want something to happen, so I figured a phaser, and the Grand Orbiter doubles up as a vibrato as well, so it's kind of the two best modulation effects for bass in one pedal.
I didn't know that existed. Grand Orbiter, is that a new one? Fairly new.
I mean it's part of the line, I think. You know, it's nothing that's, you know, just come out or anything,
but. It's tough to keep up with Earthquaker, isn't it? They just keep putting out new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they've got quite a comprehensive pedal. There were probably, what, I don't know, 25, 30 pedals something in like the standard range, which is quite a lot. When you consider they mainly focus on weird things,
yeah,
that's quite a lot.
It's the same with Wampler as well. Wampler just posted up a picture today of something called the Low... I think they're going to call it the Lo-Fi, which is going to be like a tape machine. It's like their Faux Tape Echo, but I think a little bit more grungy. They just keep coming.
Yeah, I guess actually on the note of that Grand Orbiter, I was kind of choosing it because, I mean, yeah, it does sound really great and really high quality, and the idea of having a vibrato was really attractive, you know, along with a phaser. But I have to say, I was choosing it because it was the only like good quality phaser I could really find for sort of poking around. Anyone got any other suggestions?
Phase 90?
No, they're not good. They're not for bass. They're really thin
sounding. I've got a good one.
They're really basic and really thin sounding.
Got Matt.
The Ibanez. Do you remember the big metal square Ibanez pedals? They did like the Fathead and
the Lo-Fi, like
the 7 series. They did a phaser, which is absolutely brilliant. It's like a total hidden gem. It's got like a proper step phaser on it as well.
Wicked.
Like a really weird like filter.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember
like
it.
£30.
Really? Probably not now that you've said this.
Well, I mean, you've got like week's head start on everyone else. Yeah,
it goes up on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. You've got tonight.
You have to get one found before Wednesday.
What is it called?
The Ibanez Tone Lock PH7.
Right, okay.
Good pedal.
It's still a current product, and I think it's the only one in the range that for some reason is a current product.
Right. Okay. I'm not sure which ones you mean. You don't mean the ones that are like... not the standard ones that looked a bit like Boss pedals.
No. The ones where you can push the controls in, like the Lo-Fi
like
or the LF7.
Wire stuff.
No. That's Digitech.
Yeah, I know, but they looked very
They were
similar.
Called... they were called like sound. They weren't Sound Tank, but I think they called
it
them.
It was Tone Lock.
Tone Lock.
Tone Lock.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I'll check it out. Thank you very much, Matthew Knight.
Yeah, the step filter on those is pretty amazing. It's like got a real kind of 90s zoom feel to it, which is exactly what you want. Like it a lot. Now, there's been no real news this week.
Great.
And we're saving up your questions for a big question spectacular either next week or the week after, because we did a lot of questions on the Patreon episode last time, and we feel that, you know, we should give you a whole bunch of questions on the regular episode. So there's not that much to talk about this week. So Joe, you've come up with a thing that you want us to do. What are you calling this thing?
The Guitar Nerds Quiz. The Hunt for the Ultimate Guitar Nerd.
I thought there was going to be another subtitle after that.
Find out who will win.
Good. So I'm going to hand over to you, really. I'm going to let you run this show
as
you know, inmates, asylum and all that. Go ahead. I'm just a participant in this
experiment.
One of us.
Well, I have designed a quiz, yes, a quiz to discover which one of you is the greatest guitar nerd of all. I have no idea if this quiz is going to be convenient running time for this. It's either going to be really, really too long or it's going to be really too short, so I'm not sure which.
Right, let's roll with it.
Find out. Yes, anyway, so...
I feel like with Matt being on the internet and me feeling like I might collapse at any moment...
Well, I've thought about this. I've thought about the fact that Matt's on a time delay. I have included a buzz around, but only one. There are going to be five rounds in this quiz.
How about if Matt gets a buzzer question, he gets 2 points instead of one?
Sure.
Is that going to throw off the delicate balance that you've obviously crafted for this quiz?
Absolutely no balance.
Right,
here.
Okay.
I was writing some of these questions on my way here. No, we're going to do five rounds. I'll split them into... I'll give you the round titles so it can get your mental juices flowing as to the sort of questions you'll be answering. We've got round one, which will be History and Heritage. Now, History and Heritage will be a round where I will simply pose five questions to each of you.
Okay.
In turn. So there's no need to jump in or anything. If the person doesn't get that question right, I will simply explain what the answer is and they won't get the point. The second round will be called Pointy and Loud, and that will be a buzzer round. So, you know, all fingers on buzzers. If you can't answer the question, I...
pass it over?
Yeah, but I don't know who to pass it over to. I don't know. Maybe I won't pass over. Maybe we'll leave passovers.
Okay.
Round three is called Limited Edition and Signature Facts. And I will pose five facts to each of you in turn, and you can tell me if my facts are true or false.
Wow, okay.
And then round four, which will be called This One Goes to 11. It will be obviously an amplifier round, and you will be asked to name amounts of things within certain amp
zones. Okay.
And then round five, the final round, I thought we'd do a little bit of role play. So each of you will meet me playing one of my famous voices as a customer in the guitar.
Stick around, folks.
In the guitar shop.
It's going to get good.
And you are going to have to...
After four rounds of utter shit, it's going to get good.
Yeah, you're going to have to point me towards the right product, the product that I desire, and I will rate you. I will simply rate you on...
This is like Mystery Shopper, basically.
Yeah, it's Mystery Shopper. Good, yeah, right. I haven't even decided how I'm going to rate that last round, but however, it will be good. We'll say, I mean, it will be like maybe 100 points in it for that.
Okay,
for that
100
round.
Points.
So is that like catching the golden snitch?
Maybe that's...
Yeah. Something like that. Whoever's...
Oh, but we get a mark out of 100 for that.
You won't really.
Out of 10.
I'm going to give you out of 10. I'm just going to rate your
right.
How you've treated me.
Okay. Do you want to do... now you've explained it, let's do a little intro and just say what it is again.
All right, okay.
I figure let's make
it. Can you not just cut and paste the previous intro?
It's so much easier if he just says it.
Guitar Nerds Quiz. Find out who the greatest nerd is.
That rhymed that time.
Yeah, it's much better. Okay, see, better. Worth it.
Right, wonderful. Okay, so round one.
So wait, round one.
We get five questions each.
Each?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say his questions,
no.
I don't have to answer them.
No, there's no
so
passing.
So I'm just going to go round. I'm going to do one at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with Mark, then to Matt, then to UJ.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask Mark five questions, and he will need to answer those, then on to Matt, then on to you.
Gotcha.
And I will be tallying
are
your
scores.
Are they
the same five questions? Because
they,
I feel
they
like
are
I
the
might...
same five, so I think, yes, you might do better. No, they're not the same five. okay, Mark Packham, you're going to get these first.
Oh,
you're
brilliant.
Up first, so
okay,
first
right.
In the History and Heritage round, question one of five. For 1 point, Mark Packham... When were round-wound bass strings first developed? I tell you what.
I'm going to guess it.
If you want to guess it, I'll tell you what. I will actually give you a point here if you can tell me the company and maybe the famous person that assisted in the development.
That's easy.
Right, so companies wrote a sound.
That's correct.
And it's that fella, that bass fella, who helped. And the year is 1963.
You were a year out. It was 62.
Oh, come on. I've got to get a point
you
for
got,
that.
I'm going to give you it because you got wrote a sound. I know that bass fella, you were probably thinking of The Ox, John Entwistle, who assisted wrote a sound in making
that's not
the
who I was thinking of.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you half a point.
What you should have done is say if you get it within 3 years.
Oh, for goodness
sake. You
get
a point.
You can't,
I'm
you can't
claiming that one.
Ones.
I'm having
All
that.
Right, I'll give you a point. You've got a point.
Don't let him bully you. I think that's... Matt, what do you think? I think for that bullying intimidation tactics, he should be docked 2 points.
No.
I think he's being far too lenient here.
Okay. Well, this is...
Matt's like, look, he's on
definitely on
Google right now. He's getting ready to type stuff in.
I've got pen and paper.
Okay.
Pen and paper.
Right, I'm going to go round so that it's slightly more interesting than hearing Mark talk for the next 5 or 6 minutes. So, Matt, I'm going to ask you the first off of yours. Matthew Knight, what year did Fender introduce Rosewood fingerboards?
1959.
That is absolutely correct, Matthew Knight.
I get a point.
You do get a point. Well done. I
feel like we need a little clapping sound effect.
Yeah, okay, I should have got one in. Jay Cross.
Hello.
A question that Matt Knight, I'm sure, would have been very happy to have as his first question. What was Boss's first ever compact pedal?
The DD3.
Is that what you're running with? You think the first pedal they designed was a digital delay?
No, it wasn't. It was the DS1.
Very close, but unfortunately incorrect, J Cross. Boss's first pedal was in fact the OD1, but I would have accepted the PH1 as well because they were released at the same time. Which was 1978. It wasn't. Okay. It wasn't until the next year that the DS1 was released. But I agree with you. That is exactly the pedal I would have gone for.
Okay.
So, well done.
Thanks.
Well done.
I, now that the shoe is on the other foot, I appreciate the leniency in you sort of giving me a second chance.
Yeah, exactly.
I take it back.
And also, my question was much harder.
No, wait, mine was the hardest. I knew the answer to your question and Matty's question.
Mark Fine. Packham.
Go on.
What company did Leo Fender set up after leaving Fender?
Music Man.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes, he did. He did. He did have to be a silent partner, however, because he did have a 10-year non-compete clause in the contract that he signed when he sold Fender to CBS. So it was actually Music Tech, but I will accept Music Man because Leo Fender really didn't like the name at all and changed it to Music Man for all their products. I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm going to give you the opportunity to get a bonus point there. Don't worry, all of you have got the opportunity to get a bonus point at some point, but I'll give you the opportunity to get a bonus point here. Can you tell me the first product that Music Man, that Leo Fender designed with Music Man and the rest of the Trisonics people?
Oh... Is it the Sabre?
You think it was the Sabre, my friend? It was not even a bass guitar, I'm afraid. It was, in fact, an amplifier.
Oh, okay.
And that was Music Man's first thing, way before they were making basses. Yes, that's right.
I did not know that.
Yes, it's 1974. The first product was called the 65.
Okay.
And it was a Music Man amplifier. Yeah, because Music Man obviously makes some great amps. They're just, for some reason... don't make them anymore. No one really knows why, because they were brilliant when they were about.
When did and I hope I'm not sort of overstepping the mark here, but
might be in a question, you never know.
I know. When did G&L
later
start?
Oh, that was much later. As
you nearly went G&L.
I almost did. Yeah.
I was like, that's
oh no, wait,
that was
Music
the trick.
Man.
But it was in fact Music Man. Well done. I'm gonna give you a point for that, Mark Packham. Matt Knight,
hit me.
When did Gibson make their first guitar? Oh, you Gibson fan, you.
When? 1885.
1894. You were so close. Orville Gibson set his instrument shop up. One single workshop in Kalamazoo in Michigan.
I was trying to count back 120 years from last year, and I was like, wait, no, that's a really good
thing. Yeah, it's a very difficult question. I mean, I tell you what, I will give you a point for this if you can tell me what the first instrument was.
Was it a mandolin?
Oh, you've got it, yeah. I'm actually giving you that. Yeah, well done. Excellent. Jay Cross, all the chance to score all the points right now. If you can...
Great. I like this new game show host character. It's brilliant.
Great.
If you could tell me, when were Floyd Rose tremolos first introduced?
Specialist subject.
That's tricky.
It is tricky. Oh, man.
I think it is guessable if you think about the sort of time that this music came about, and if you
are
you
we
know,
doing
backpedal.
Point stealing if Jay can't get the answer.
No, there's no point stealing in this.
I'm going to say, 1982.
Okay, unfortunately, you would have had to backpedal just a couple of years. It was 1977 that the company first.
The Sex Pistols.
Yeah. Of course,
it's all over. Never mind the bollocks.
Yeah,
I should have seen that coming. Yeah, all those.
Oh, how it would have been so different if you had a Floyd Rose
trip. Okay, Mark Packham,
hit me.
I like this question. What particular American amplifier sparked a drop in sales for the Vox AC15 and subsequently led to the design and release of the AC30?
Ooh, I'm going to say the Fender Princeton.
Unfortunately, you had the brand right. I think that was pretty easy, though. It was the Fender Twin.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, there was basically a lot of people, especially the Shadows, who at the time were the major endorsee for the Vox AC15s, were putting Vox under a lot of pressure to make something that was loud enough to compete, which is why Vox essentially made the double AC15.
I thought the AC30 came first. I thought the AC30 was
the AC15.
AC15.
Right,
for
okay,
years,
that was so the AC15 was the accordion amp, like originally.
That's right. Yeah. That's
right. Okay. I always thought it was a 30. My mistake.
No. So yes.
Oh, well,
no,
so I've dropped my first points.
You've dropped your first point, I'm afraid. Yes. Matthew Knight, coming round to you. Question three, isn't it? Yes, here we are. There's a lot of paper in front of me. What now popular... Oh, you've got another Gibson question. How about that? What now popular Gibson model changed its name in 1963?
1963?
Going to have to hurry you.
Was it the SG?
You were absolutely right that night, yes. It was probably the easiest question you're going to get this podcast, and you took the longest amount of... There was dead air time there.
It was a trick question, and I was like, yeah, no, 63, because it went from...
That's right. Of course, we have discussed this before, but yeah, Les Paul didn't really like the new design, and he didn't actually have anything to do with it, and he requested the removal of his name from the new model. He remained under the contract with Gibson and was photographed with the new model several times, but he didn't play it and had it renamed. Excellent. Well done.
If I can just interject really quickly.
Yeah, go for it.
Is that what we're doing here, or are we just running with the quiz?
Yeah, we can talk.
I watched a cool video with Les Paul last night.
Okay.
It was from about, you know, it's relatively recent, you know, not too long before he died, I think, but like relatively recent. And he obviously had like a real sort of sense of like irony of himself, I think. Like he was doing a show and showing off like his built-in the looper essentially that he created. Yeah. And he was like, you know, he was on stage in front of all these people. And he
were
was
you
like,
just watching tape loop videos?
I was, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's where it came from. it was him just standing in front of this audience, and he was going, well, you know, thing is, maybe not a lot of you people know this about me, is you know, as well as creating multi-track recording and inventing the solid body guitar and popularizing, you know, rock and roll music for the masses, I also like invent like these sorts of things. And everyone's just like, yeah, you're Les Paul, yeah, you're wicked. And like, it could have come across as very arrogant, but he's like, you know, he's got this bright little smile there. It's really nice. Good old boy, isn't he?
He is a good old boy.
I love Les Paul.
Where do we get to? Jay Cross.
Jay Cross. Yes, it is your question next, Jay. And for 1 point, can you tell me what was the name given to the neck humbucker in a Gibson EB bass? The original EB series. I'm not talking about the new ones.
It was... It was called like the woolly mammoth or something like that. It wasn't called that, I know that, but it was like the muffler. I don't know.
Do you know what? That's so close. The correct answer is the mudbucker.
The mudbucker.
You can't have mudbucker from woolly mammoth.
No. I don't think I should get it, but like mudbucker. I knew it was like. What did I say the second time? Muffler.
The muffler.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I knew it was something beginning with M.
Great muffler.
That's right. Yeah, it wasn't an official name for it, but the phrase was coined after Jack Bruce had described the muddy sound. quality of the pickup in his then EB3 Gibson bass. Okay, we're back round to you, Mark Packham. Question 4 out of running round. Can you name one of the department stores that Dan Electro, one of the department store orientated names that Dan Electro manufactured under in the late 1950s?
Dan Electro manufactured under.
Dan Electro manufactured under a couple of names for department stores that they were supplying guitars for.
Silvertone?
Silvertone is correct.
Yes.
Well done. Yes, that's right. Silvertone was the name of the brand given for all the guitars that Dan Electro made for Sears. They did do some others as well. But yes, of course, Dan Electro back then known for being very affordable and still having a wicked tone.
The Silvertone models are the ones that come with the amp built into the case.
Is that right?
It is, I know more than the Quizmaster.
Amazing.
Glad you've done your research.
Absolutely.
That's the real quiz.
That's the real quiz. After this, can we go and see who can throw their shoes over a pub?
Matt Knight. What 50s and 60s Fender colour became famous for changing over time?
Oh,
come on.
Oh. Changing over time. Sunburst?
That man manages a guitar shop. No, the correct answer was Fiesta Red, Matt. That was an excellent effort, but you are wrong. Fiesta Red, of course, is salmon pink. It was blood red when it was first put on the guitars back in the late 50s and early 60s changed colour over time. So no point for you there, I'm afraid. Jay Cross, we're back round to you and you've still got time to pick it up with question 4 out of your 5. Why were pickup covers fitted to Fender guitars?
Why were pickup covers fitted to Fender guitars?
That's right. In their earliest incarnations in the late 50s, why were pickup covers fitted to the bridge of a Telecaster? Why were they also fitted to the neck pickup and bridge pickup on jazz basses and to the middle pickup on a P bass? Why also were white
You covers. Don't mean pickup covers, you mean like the ashtray.
I do.
Bridges, the ashtray type.
Is that not what we should have called it?
Well, like bridge cover, okay. That sort of thing.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
I thought we might have spoken about this before, and it was actually because Leo Fender thought that pickups were unsightly, own words, and there was no function for them. At all. It was just because he
It was just aesthetics. I mean, I would have just said, I should have just said aesthetics.
Yes, it looks better.
Yeah, I should, but it doesn't look better.
They're pointless.
It's strange how much it persisted as well as a style, especially on basses, because even with the introduction, even with the start of the 1970s, the jazz bass, the Fender jazz bass, had its bridge pickup moved down slightly because the ashtray cover that Fender had designed for it still left the pickup slightly visible. So even as late as the 70s, when pretty much everyone was just taking off the ashtrays and normally changing the bridges for, a Leo quad bridge as well, Fender was still, obsessed with the look of pickups. And
So what, we've got one question left in this round each?
That's right.
Okay.
We're back round to you, Mark Patton. Question 5.
What Gretsch did both... Oh, how have you ended up with this question?
Yes.
What Gretsch did both Elvis and George Harrison famously play on various television performances?
Ooh. Country Gentleman?
You're absolutely right, yes. Yeah. The Country Gentleman was played by George Harrison on The Ed Sullivan Show, and it was also played by Elvis on numerous TV performances throughout the latter part of his career. So another point...
So that's four out of a possible five. How many's Jay got so far?
I've got 0 points.
He's going to turn it round in this.
Ask me how I feel out of five as well. It's the same answer.
That's the beauty of this quiz, is there's, you know, you there's turn it all around. The chance to turn it around. Matt Knight... What was the original name for the Telecaster?
The Broadcaster.
Yeah. I shouldn't even give you a point for that. Everyone
Too
knows
easy.
That. Jay Cross, coming Hello. Back round to you, and with your final question. What year was the Fender Mustang first introduced?
The Mustang, yes. 1965. No,
I'll accept it because it was introduced in late 1964.
Okay, right.
It was 1964. If I tell you what, there's your bonus point
caveat.
Up for grabs here.
Okay.
Of course, the Mustang was essentially a duosonic with the vibrato added.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
And it was available in three colours. Can you tell me what the three colours were and why they were completely unique to the Fender Mustang?
The colours were unique. Dakota Red. Is that one of them?
It's not, but okay. you would be on the right lines. The colours that were introduced were red, blue and white.
Oh, okay.
That is it. They didn't name the colours. And even though the colours look very similar to Dakota Red, Daphne Blue and Olympic White, they weren't, in fact, on this new budget series. So
They were just red, blue and white.
They were just red, blue and
white. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, gentlemen, that concludes our first round, History and Heritage. Currently... tying first place, Matt and Mark, with a whopping 4 out of 5 points. Jay trailing slightly behind there with 0.
One. You said you'd given me the point.
Oh,
for
yes, I did
65.
Say I'd give you one. There you go. I'll give you one. You were a year out, but I'm going to give you that point.
I wasn't a year out. I was like...
You were a few months out.
A couple of weeks out.
Before we start round two, can we all check our buzzers?
I am going to introduce that, because I need to know whose buzzers is what. We are on to round two, which is pointy and loud. This will be a buzzer round, so I need to check, and also for the people at home, so that they can make sure I haven't given the wrong person the point. I'll need to hear your buzzers. First of all, Mark Packham, introduce me to your buzzer.
Ham.
Okay,
someone,
wonderful.
Someone saying ham.
Can you repeat that for me one more time?
Ham.
Excellent. Matthew Knight, if we could have your buzzer so I can differentiate it from... Yeah, you're going to have to hold it closer to the microphone, I think.
Okay.
Wonderful, that's what we like to hear. So we've got the proper rap air horn there. Jay Cross, could you please show me your buzzer? Wonderful. slightly closer, I think, when we were playing the round. But yes, they're perfect. Wonderful. So I've got a ham and I've got a rap air horn. I know exactly what's going on here. Wonderful.
Via the power of technology, are we able to pause so I can go and fill up this drink with hot water so I don't fall over, please?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, thanks. Sure.
Intermission break.
Welcome back. Well done, Jay, for having that quick break.
Sorry. Still Thanks. Being alive, I think, is yeah. what you need to be congratulated for.
I'm here.
You're here. And you're ready to put your finger on the buzzer.
Oh, yeah, buzzer round. Sorry.
That's right,
not
everyone.
Holding.
No,
hot.
Don't hold your drink. Not for a minute.
Round.
Not for a minute. So we've got 10 questions in this buzzer round. Get ready, gentlemen. If you think you know the answer, press the buzzer, and I will try and work out which one of the three buzzers that are definitely going to have been pressed at exactly the same time. Yes, which one has been answered? First question, in pointy and loud, where do the American company ESP have their custom shop models built?
That's me.
I think it was you.
Japan.
That's correct. 1 point to Jay Croft. Oh, what have I done with the score sheet?
You've lost it.
Oh, no, it's
on
right.
the back of one of your pieces of paper.
Okay, we'll do this one again.
Jay's got 2 points, and me and Matt have got 4.
Yeah, that's right.
There we go. It's seeming a bit more doable now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like, without wanting to lament and sound like I feel like I could have answered some of the other questions.
Well, you did well. You did really well. Mm. Are you ready for question
Thanks,
two?
Dad.
I am. How many of these are there, by the way?
10. Oh, 10 in this round.
10.
Okay. Do it.
Name 5 Ibanez signature models. Mark Peckham.
Do I have to name the artist or
you
the
have
actual
to name
models?
The artist.
Okay, Paul Gilbert.
Yes.
Joe Satriani.
Yes.
Steve Vai.
Yes.
Noodles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Do they have to be current models?
No, you can do that.
You
got one more.
Mike Mushock from Stained.
No,
oh,
he
what a great guitar.
I mean, yeah. we might actually have to do a fact check on that.
He did. It was the it was called the MMM1. It was a baritone through neck.
It was
cool.
Awesome.
That is cool.
That's a great guitar.
Yeah.
For when every time you need to play those Stained songs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my band's always busting some Stained. I literally couldn't tell you a single song. Okay, what's next?
I'm just adding a point, sorry.
You're next no Bob Holness, are
I know,
you?
I know, it's terrible. Third question. What 120-watt 4-mode all-valve head was created through a collaboration between...
I think that was Matt.
Matt Knight.
It was, and then I realised that actually, no, I'd made a mistake. But I'm going to go
Shall
with...
I finish the question? Well, no, actually, I won't finish the question.
No,
go on.
He's buzzed in.
I'm going to go with...
I have to press you. I'm going to have to press
EVH.
You.
EVH. EVH 51.
No, that is incorrect.
Do we get a chance to buzz back in? Or do you dock points?
I'm going
to
dock
gets,
a point.
Yeah,
I'm going to dock a point.
That
I'm
way.
Going to tell you, if I had finished the question, I would have said, what 120 watt 4-mode all-valve head was created through a collaboration between Mike Fontin and a popular Swedish metal musician? The answer was, of course, Mark Peckham.
Satan.
Yes,
Satan,
there you go. Jay Cross got it. Yeah, I thought you'd been on it.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
So Matthew Knight, I'm docking you a point. You're down to 3. Next question.
I lose a point.
Yeah, this
question yeah, you lose
this
point.
Is this is great.
I just sorry, I had to do that because I like halfway through that question, my phone locked itself. So
just going off all over the place.
Okay. Right. Next question. What two companies recently introduced 9 strings into their standard range? I think Jay Cross, you had
Ibanez and Schecter.
That's correct. Well done. I'm giving you an extra point. Jay Cross, you are up to 3, hot on the heels of our leader, Mark Peckham, and second place, Matt Knight. Question number 5. Who has the only signature orange head and cab in production? I think I'm going straight to Jay Cross there as well.
Jim Root,
you are correct.
And you're fast on that buzzer.
He's fast on the buzzer.
Too
it's
fast.
True. Number 6. What tuning was the Paul Gray Slipknot Ibanez bass specifically designed for? Mark Peckham.
B-E-A-D.
That's correct.
Yes!
He played a 4-string, but in 5-string tuning. Very interesting model. Well, obviously, the late Paul Gray was a brilliant A brilliant bass guitar. Well done, Mark. Steaming ahead there with 6 points now.
I'm feeling so competitive. I'm really feeling it.
We've got to get through this, Mark. Okay. I have to quieten you down. What is the name of Paul Gilbert's reverse body Iceman signature model? It's very close. I'm going to give it to you there.
I think it was I know.
Fireman.
Yes, that is correct. The Fireman, of course, Paul Gilbert, known for having his RG signature models, has recently had Fireman.
I love that you can't write.
Yeah,
and talk.
I can't write. Let's and talk at the Matt, same time. Can I?
What about the?
Is Matt getting double points?
No, he's just getting one.
Right, okay.
Okay. Next question: what guitar manufacturer did Tosin and Bassi play before moving to Ibanez? who's got the ham one? Oh, that's
me,
isn't
Mark.
It? Yeah, Mark. Okay. Mark. You've got in. There are actually three brands you can name.
Oh god!
But you are an idiot. But
I just let's I just really dock thought the you point. Were say Ibanez.
Dock the point.
I don't know. I thought it was going to be about the Ibanez.
Well, the correct answer would have been Strandberg because that was the brand that he played shortly before then. But I would have also accepted Carvin and Mayonnaise.
Oh yeah. I like
okay.
Mayonnaise.
Following up from that question, name a popular headless guitar brand. J. Cross.
Trick question. There are no popular headless guitar brands.
J. Cross, that's right. I'm giving you a point.
That's one of the best gags we've ever had on it. That's
brilliant. Would have accepted Steinberg, but as I used the word popular, we will run with that. Last question, guys, and all the chance for you to get those points back. What guitar manufacturer makes the Hillsborough bass model? Mark Packham.
Dean.
You are correct.
Yes.
The Dean, winning back that point that you recently had. Well, well done, Matt and Mark. You managed to level up the points that you lost in that round by being too quick on your buzzers. J. Cross, you managed to compete massively. J. Cross still... actually, J. Cross, you're in second place.
There we go.
With 5 points. Matt Knight, you have trailed down to fourth, as we thought you would.
Fourth.
In the yes, fourth. as we thought you would in the buzzer round. Mark Packham is storming
despite
ahead.
Knowing the answers, Joe's only third.
Mark Packham, you are leading the game in with 6 points.
Well done, everyone.
Oh, dear.
Well done. So, moving on to round three.
We don't need the buzzer anymore.
We don't need the buzzer anymore. Okay. That is the end of the buzzer round,
good.
Everyone. Now, the next round, the third round, which is limited edition and signature facts, will be a true or false round. I'm going to quickfire each of you in turn with 5 questions. You are going to have to tell me true or false to each of them. And
cool.
I will rate you. Mark Packham, you're first.
Yes.
The Modern Player Tele Plus is a limited edition model.
False.
I'm afraid it's true. It is a limited edition model that they're only doing for a short period of time. Second question. The standard HH Telecaster has block inlays.
False.
I'm afraid it's true. It does have block inlays. It's,
what?
It's, yeah, it
you're thinking
great.
Of the FMT. The yeah. FMT does no, not have block inlays.
Standard.
The
American standard.
Yeah. HH has block inlays.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, yeah, it looks great. It looks
yeah, it
amazing.
Does look really good.
Okay.
Really good. Question number three. The new double cut Telecaster is available in butterscotch and vintage white.
That is false.
You are correct. It's only available in butterscotch.
Yep.
It's also not available anymore.
No, there
it
you
was
go.
One of the 10th or 15th.
That's true. John 5 has a new 3-humbucking signature Telecaster.
It's not new, but yes, that does exist.
I'll give you that one because, yes, it's true, and he does have a new one.
Oh, okay.
He's got another new one. So, yes, I will give you that one. Last question out of your 5, the Jim Root Telecaster... only control is a single volume knob.
That is false. There's also a switch.
You are correct,
yes.
Sir. And so you finished that round with 3 out of the possible 5 points. Well done. Moving on to you, Matt Knight. Are you ready?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay. The new special edition lacquered Strat has a matching headstock.
True.
Correct. It does. And it looks very nice in its... Is it surf green they've done it in, or is it Daphne blue? I can never tell the difference between those two colours.
The answer to that question actually is it depends what finish.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Because the sunburst ones do not.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to give that to you anyway because I didn't do my research. Okay, the new V-neck US standard Strat has a parchment pickguard.
False.
Correct. The new V-neck US standard Strat, in fact, has a gold scratch plant.
Alright.
Next question. The David Lozieu. How do you say his name?
I've no
Lozieu. The David Lozieu signature strat has an image of a heart with a gun belt and wings on it.
True.
That is correct. That is one of the most awful looking guitars I have ever seen.
Not that I'm meaning to pick you up on all of these, but he's just an artist. He's not a...
Oh, right.
Like, he just designed the guitar. He just painted the guitar.
That makes it even worse.
He made a pig's ear of it.
Hey.
Topical. Buddy Holly...
Wasn't the ear, mate.
Buddy Holly was the first person to play a Strat on TV.
True.
That's correct. In 1957, he played That Will Be the Day on the Ed Sullivan Show. That is absolutely right. Matt Knight, you're storming this round. Last question for you, Matt Knight. The new model of Stevie Ray Vaughan's Stratocaster has for the first time been fitted with a right-handed tremolo.
False.
That's correct. Of course, they will always be fitted with left-handed tremolos. So well done. Matthew Knight, you've got a full house of 5 points there. Well done. Jay Cross, can you match him? Can you match him? First question.
Is that a question? Because the answer's no.
No, I've just read the first question, and you should get this one. The new Joe Bonamassa Epiphone Les Paul is Inverness Green.
Inverness Green. False.
That's correct. You, in fact, called it Inverness Green for a whole podcast an episode or two ago. But
did I?
We did later find
no,
out
I don't
that
think
it's
I did.
Well, nonetheless, you got it correct. Next question. 2 years ago, Orange released White Tolex as a limited edition colour.
They have done it. Did they do it 2 years ago?
I'm going to accept that as a yes, because I don't want you to overthink this. It was just whether they'd done it or not.
Okay,
I shouldn't have
right.
mentioned the time, really. Okay, question three. Billy Sheehan's signature attitude is dual input.
True.
Correct. He has two inputs, so he can send...
Surely it's dual output.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Shut up. He uses both hands on it.
Yeah.
The...
I think Billy Sheehan's signature attitude is probably grumpy.
The Fireman is Paul Gilbert's most recent signature model.
His most recent signature model. True.
I'm afraid it is actually false. He's had an RG released since then. Yes.
Is
it an RG with the fake F holes? And this time he's had an absolute whopper of a neck put on it. So
cool. Didn't know that.
It's a cool sort of anti shred guitar. I'm
a big
weird.
Fan.
It's
actually. Got like a chunky Les Paul neck.
Yeah, it's great.
Cool.
It's a shame about the fake F-holes, but everything else about that guitar I love. Last question for you then, Jay Cross. To finish on 4 points, can you tell me... Roger Waters' signature precision bass comes with flat-wound strings.
That, I think, is false.
You are correct. He actually does only play Rotor Sound flat-wound strings, but for some reason, Fender have issued his signature model with a set of round rounds.
There we go.
So there you go. Right. Well done. So after that round, we have we had trailing on that round. Mark Packham with 3 points. Jay Cross coming in second with four. And Matt Knight leading the game with a full house of five. I'm just talking about from this round.
Okay,
I haven't added them up yet. I'm just going to add them up at the end because I'm trying to keep the pace going.
Okay.
So the next round, ladies and gentlemen, is this one goes to 11. Now, in this round, I am going to ask you to list amounts of things or names of things, but basically coming up with lists.
Okay.
So I will go first to you, Mark Packham. Name five Fender amps.
Princeton, Twin, Deluxe, Champ, Mustang.
Nice. I like that you avoided the Junior, but yes, well done.
I didn't say Blues Junior.
I know. I thought you were showing off by making it deliberately hard.
I would have gone
yourself.
With Mustang 1, Mustang 2.
I would have accepted those. Next question. Name 315 watt amps.
315 watt amps.
Yes.
Fender Blues Junior.
Yeah.
Line 6 Spider 15. Marshall MG15.
Wow.
Marshall have not done an MG15.
They haven't done a Spider 15 for ages either. But
yeah, the Spider 15 is a current model.
No,
really?
It doesn't have to be
Marshall,
current model. So
Marshall make an MG15.
Did I? I thought it was just a 10.
No, they do a 10, a 15, a 30, a 50, and a 100, and a 100 watt with two speakers.
I tell you what, the more information you give, the more answers you are maybe providing for someone else later on these questions.
Name five Marshall amps.
Question number three, Mark Packham, name one signature amp.
Can it be anything?
You can be anything.
Orange Jim Root Tiny Terror.
Correct, well done. Question four, name one FSR Blues Junior.
Ooh.
Cool.
Ooh. Can I go for Lacquered Tweed?
You can, excellent choice. Probably my favourite out of all of them, well done. They should do that more. I don't know why they don't make that a standard line. We're actually in a point in time where Fender are doing loads of Lacquered Tweed stuff, which is quite nice. But they just don't do it enough. I wish it would just be standard. And last question for you, Mark Packham. Name three all-valve bass amps.
Ampeg SVT.
Sorry, you're going to have to be more specific than that, mate.
Okay. SVT Classic.
It's like Fender Amp. Go on, SVT Classic, yep.
Mark Bass Classic 300s.
Yep.
And Fender Super Bassman.
Well done. Other than the second one, those were good choices. Moving on. So you finished that with a full 5 points there, Mark Packham. Well done. That is an excellent job. Well done. Matthew Knight, on to you. Name five orange amps.
Thunderverb.
Yeah.
Rockerverb.
Yeah.
Rocker 30.
Yeah.
Jim Root. Tiny Terror.
Well done. All five. Very quick, speedier than Mark Packham. I should give you a bonus point for that. Name three 50 watt amps.
DSL. Oh no.
Hurry.
Oh,
I'm gonna move on in a sec.
Orange Rockerverb Mark 3 50 watt.
Yep.
Sir Hedgehog 50. And Victory the Earl 50 watt valve head.
I am shocked that you found that so hard. The man who's owned more amplifiers than had hot dinners just couldn't name three 50 watt heads for me. Next up, name one signature amp you cannot name the same as a previous participant.
Oh, I'm going to go with...
I have to speed you up here.
I'm going to go with the Randall Satan.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Wonderful. Next, name one FSR Blues Junior.
Can I go with Sandy? That was their blonde-coloured one.
Yes, a very nice choice as well. And your final question, name three Class D bass amps.
Orange Obi-Wan?
It's not Class D. It's not Class D, I'm afraid. And that's it. You know, if you get one wrong, I'm afraid.
I'm going to have to pass on that.
Yeah, fine. Well, you scored 4 out of 5. Well done there, Matt Knight. Jay Cross, are you ready for this?
I think I'm ready for this.
Name five Marshall amps.
Marshall MG10.
Yeah.
Marshall MG50.
The idea of this is to be like educational for listeners as well, but yes, fine.
Marshall MG10 CFX.
Yes.
That's not a current. Oh, that is a current model.
No, it doesn't have to be current.
No, it's not a current model.
It doesn't have
they
to be current.
They don't make a 10. They don't make a 10 in a CFX.
They do.
No, they don't.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're right. They have never done a 10 CFX.
They have done a CFX.
They never did a 10 with effects.
Okay, well, I was only doing it to be...
Yeah, go on. Quick, give me five and I'll still let you have the
points. DSL 15.
Yep. That's not fair.
JCM 800.
Yeah.
JCM 900.
Yeah.
Is that five?
No, you've got three because I'm cancelling the ones you said at the start.
Oh, okay. Class 5.
Yeah.
And a MG100.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you that. Yeah, just. Name three 30-watt amps.
Three 30-watt amps. The Line 6 Spider 30.
I should have specified valve here, shouldn't I? Yeah.
A AC30.
Yeah.
And AC30 VR.
Oh, I mean, I should have had...
horrendous.
That is really bad, but I'm going to give you that as well. Name one signature amp. You cannot name either of the two that have been named before.
Yeah, because they're the two good ones, aren't they? The Marshall Randy Rhodes.
There you go. Well done. Next, I'm surprised we didn't get the Slash signature by the way.
I would have gone with the Fender George Benson.
Yeah, the George Benson was the other one I thought of. Good name job. One FSR Blues Junior. You cannot name either of the two supplied before.
The Emerald Tone.
A wonderful twist. Did you ever get one of those? Was it me you personally thinking about getting one?
No, I wouldn't.
Or maybe it was Matt.
I had the Red October.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. I didn't like the Red October all that much.
Last question for you, J Cross. Oh. Name three combo bass amps.
The Jeff Berlin.
Yep.
The Mark Bass Jeff Berlin.
The Mark Bass Jeff Berlin.
The Fender Rumble.
Yep.
And
which Fender Rumble? Sorry.
150, 300. 450.
You've named numbers that don't exist. They do a 200 and a 500.
Okay.
Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut that.
Oh, come on. Okay.
You did well, though. 4 out of 5. That's not too bad at all. meaning that out of that round, Mark Packham won the round with a whopping 5 points. A full house from him.
Come on, team MP. Oh,
man.
Matt and Jay both with 4 points. So we are on to the next round now, the fifth round. In this, well, are we on the fifth round already?
Is that the last round?
It is the last round.
Okay, good, because we're running out of time.
I know. We're on this round, which I've titled The Right Effect. Now, for this fun filled round, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a little bit of role play. So I'm going to come to you one by one, and you're going to help me shop. Okay, I'm going to rate your performance out of 10.
Okay.
On how I've got some products in mind that I want you to lead me to.
Okay.
And I'm going to see if your skills as a guitar nerd are acute enough to lead me to the right place.
I'm astute and acute.
Yes, wonderful. Mark Packham, first of all.
Hello. I run a very simple setup. Just my Les Paul Jr. straight into my Orange OR50. But I need to get a more natural sounding grunt at a lower volume.
Something about that elderly voice and the natural sounding grunt.
Grunt is topical anyway.
What can you suggest?
A more natural sounding grunt.
Yes, that's right. That's what I'm after. For my Les Paul Jr. that I run straight into my Orange OR50.
And you want to, when you say a natural grunt, you mean you want a bit more distortion?
That's
a bit more
right,
overdrive.
But yes, a little bit more some gainy overdrive, but at a lower volume, really.
I would suggest maybe get an Ibanez Tube Screamer.
Oh, really? An Ibanez Tube Screamer? What will that allow me to do?
I didn't realise we were going into this.
I'll tell you what, actually, we don't need to. You've answered the question right, so there we go. Next question. New customer.
I want to sound like The Cure.
I would highly recommend that you get yourself perhaps a multi-effects pedal. You could go for something that's got chorus and maybe some reverb in there as well. Maybe get something like a Boss ME80 multi-effects.
Hey, thank you very much, Mark Packham.
Did I get the point for that?
So, well, yes. There are 10 points. I'm just rating you.
Oh,
in
okay,
total
right,
about
okay, yeah.
What I feel that you've given me there.
Okay.
Next up, Matthew Knight. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I run a pedal setup with 2 stages of drive. I'm looking for something absolutely crazy to give me more for the, you know, the times when none of my current drive pedals are bonkers enough. I currently run a Tube Screamer and an SD1 as my drive pedals, but I need something that will give me more, something crazy.
That's the most offensive thing you've ever done. Actually, it's not, but on the podcast.
So you want another crazy drive pedal to go with your other two drive pedals?
I don't think that my 2 layers of drive are crazy enough. I need something that will take it to the next level.
Okay, so you could either get a booster to go on top of your 2 drives, like a TC Electronic Spark Boost, or you could go totally over the top and get something like a ZVEX Fuzz Factory that will allow you to do all kinds of wackiness with distortion.
Wonderful. Well done, Matt Knight. Excellent. Second question. New customer.
Hello. I want to sound like Angels and Airwaves.
I hear they're big in the over 80s market.
Ian McKellen's a big fan.
Come on, Matt. What's your Angels and Airwaves setup? Come on, bring it
Does
back.
Does Matty know who Angels and Airwaves are?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I've never heard them.
Okay, well, you
they
can't
sound like they sound like they sound like early Pink Floyd, Matt.
No, he can't. He can't help me.
They
he
definitely
can't help
don't.
Me. Okay, wonderful. Well, we're moving round to Jay Cross then. Jay Cross, I need a new person.
Have you run out of voices?
Those are the four.
No, all the other ones are definitely more offensive. So I'm trying okay. to.
Well, let's steer on less offensive.
Okay.
Hello there, I'm a bass player and I often end up sharing backline. I'm looking to add something to my pedal board that will make me sound the same no matter whatever amp I'm playing through.
I mean, I definitely recommend going for something that allows you to avoid using an amp if you need to, something that will let you go straight into a PA. I've got both a Tech 21 Sans amp, a bass driver DI. And I've also got a Boss BB1X. I'd probably go with the Sans amp just because you've got the XLR out and a few more controls over it. My colleague Joe, who normally works in the bass department, is not here today. He really likes the BB1X, and like I'm down with it as well. But I prefer the Sans amp. I think the drive just sounds a bit better.
Excellent, well done. Last question.
Why are you hammed it up to squeeze a couple extra points out?
Well, that's just my customer voice. That's how I talk.
Hello there, I want to sound like royal blood.
What are you playing? Are you playing guitar or bass?
Well, I play bass.
You're playing bass? Oh, easy. I mean, I definitely, if you want to like sort of keep it simple, I'd go with one of the new Orange OB1 series amps, because you can sort of bi-amp with them, which gives you the opportunity to keep the clean signal and get the drive signal over the top. So you can, you know, you can really push that, push the sort of clean drive mixture through on those big riffs.
Brilliant, excellent, well done. Well, I'll let you know. I'll let you know what you individually scored for that round, and then I think whilst we go back to the ordinary podcast, I'll do a bit of a tally up, and I'll let you know your final scores. So, in that round, Mark Packham, I awarded you. Initially, I actually awarded you 7 out of 10.
Okay,
I upgraded you to 8 out of 10 because I feel that. Well, basically, I was looking for more depth in the cure question.
Okay.
I didn't want to be just given a multi-effect. So I wanted you to talk me through like choruses and reverbs, which you didn't. But you did point me towards something that was an answer for all of those. So I gave you an 8 out of 10 for that. And Matthew Knight, I'm afraid I had to award you 5 as
Whoa.
You scored so well in the first question, which was great. You got 4 points for that, but not knowing who Angels and Airwaves are. Angels and Airwaves are... Tom DeLonge's.
I know who they are. I've just never heard them.
Right.
So I had no idea.
They basically sound
like
you too. So I was looking for choruses for the first question from Mark. Then I was looking for like reverbs and delays from that question. And Jay Cross, there was 10 points up for grab, Jay Cross, but I'm actually going to give you 15 because your answers were so good.
Wow.
And yeah, you answered exactly what I was looking for in the first question, which that question was always going to be about bass preamps. And in the second question, yeah, I was looking for someone who was going to talk to me either about running a dual amp setup or the other option, yes, is the Orange OB.
Just trying
series.
To save you some money.
There you go. So you did really well. So I'm going to add up the points. I'll pass it back over to you, Mark Packham.
I think you should do that. Thanks so much for sticking with us. If you want to hear more of this absolute nonsense, it won't be this quiz. I'm not sure what we're going to do on Patreon this week. Maybe we'll talk about some Gear of the Year contenders. I think might be a cool place to talk, you know, not officially. Yeah. The official road to Gear of the Year hasn't started yet. But
I can't believe that we're entering the...
I just feel like... We haven't had
home straight.
I know. We haven't had too much of a chat about it, so we're just going to spend some time chatting about some things that could be in there and sorting through that. If you want to hear that, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where you can get extra content for a small little donation that helps us buy minstrels and what are you drinking again? Lemon and ginger or something?
I mean, 2 out of 3 of us who could possibly be eating the minstrels are vegan. So
yeah, so it's basically you're helping me buy minstrels and giant dairy milk buttons and Jay a cold cure. So these people have done that. Paul Corrigan, Dale Rasko, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Tomsett, Moo Gravett, and Colin Anderson. We've only got 8 places left on that list for you to join us as one of our executive producers and get your name read out on the podcast every week. If you don't want to do that, there is a much, much lower tier, $5 a month. I think it works out as like 75p a week or something. Gets you an extra half an hour of content every week. And yeah, you know, join us if you want. You know, we'll just talk more of this nonsense. If you want to join in with the podcast, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Like I said, next week and probably the week after, we're going to do all questions specials. So if you've got burning questions you want to ask us, we're a bit thin on the ground for news at the moment in the run-up to Christmas, so we're going to do loads and loads of questions. So do send them in on the Facebook group. You can also send them in. There's an email address now, guitarnerdspodcast@gmail.com, or you can get us on Twitter @guitarnerds. You can get me on Twitter @mark_random. You can get Matt @Matt_Nightsy. You can get Jay @JAYBN1. And you can get Joe @Joseph_900. Joe, how are those scores coming along?
Yeah, the scores are coming along really well. I'm just adding up the last of them, but I can tell you them. I can tell you now who's won.
Let's do the scores. If you haven't added them up, let's I can vamp for two more.
There you go. Just give me a minute longer.
This is live
adding up.
Live, yeah, hard hitting
journalism.
Live
mathematics.
Live.
I lost a piece of paper. No, I'm joking. I do know.
Live maths.
You've got it.
Brian Cox.
Sort of Carol Vorderman.
Carol Vorderman is much more appropriate. Brian Cox did physics.
Yes.
Physics.
Yeah.
Brian Cox was in D-Ream.
He was in D-Ream.
Matty, did you know that?
No, I didn't.
He played... What do you think he played? He's a scientist. What do you think he played?
Did he play a scientist?
D-Ream's not a film, Matt. It's a band.
Oh.
So you didn't know that. Okay, no. Great. He played the keyboards.
He did. Shall we have a quick chat about what's going on Guitar Nerds in the next couple of weeks? So we've got a new video that we're recording this evening. Top 5 Les Paul facts you probably didn't know. Joe's got some articles going up. There's stuff going up on the Twitter all the time. Guitarnerds.net. We've also, obviously, we've got the T-shirt as well. Some of you have already kindly bought one, but there's we've still got plenty to go around. It is limited edition, so do snap them up while we've still got them. Guitarnerds.net/shop. Joe Branton, are you ready to deliver the results?
I'm ready to deliver the results.
Let's do it.
In third place of the Guitar Nerds quiz, in a shock result, Matthew Knight.
Only I'd known who Angels and Airwaves were.
With a paltry 19 points. In Thanks. Second place, Mark Packham.
What? You're having a laugh.
Mark Packham with 24 points comes in second, crowning the biggest guitar nerd here with a whopping 28 points.
Absolute fix.
Jay, guitar nerd.
Absolute
cross.
Unbelievable. Right. Well done. See you on the Patreon.
Jay Cross.
See you next week.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.